Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 4th of June. The primary season is over.
Tonight, I can stand here and say that I will be the Democratic nominee for the President of the United States of America.
We've covered the primaries for such a long period of time, and I watched an incredible amount of television last night, as I'm sure many of you did as well. We're going to look at what happened yesterday at the long campaign behind us, at the campaign ahead with Senator John McCain. We'll talk about what it is that Hillary Clinton really does want now. As she said in her speech last night, what does she want? A lot of people are asking her that. Is it the vice presidency? We'll talk about this really unlikely story of a relatively unknown African-American from Illinois who was in the state Senate, not in the U.S. Senate for a long period of time, who has become the Democratic nominee, and what it means. It seems to me as though it's a fairly momentous occasion, and we can talk about that and talk about John McCain's speech last night, Senator Clinton's speech, Senator Barack Obama's speech, and hear your response to what happened yesterday. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. We will have two guests separately this hour. Matt Flynn will be joining us at the top of the hour, former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party and a Hillary Clinton backer. Gordon Fisher, a former chair of the Iowa Democratic Party and co-chair of Senator Barack Obama's campaign in Iowa, will be with us. He was with us when we went to Dubuque for our wonderful broadcast back in January. Our phone number, the lines I think will be fairly crowded, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Emails are talk@wpr.org. Matt Flynn, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Yeah, quite a night yesterday. Let me start with how it is that this relatively unknown fellow from Illinois, not in the Senate very long, not a background that many people will know about, was able to claim victory last night. How did that happen for him?
Well, I mean, he ran a very effective campaign, and I certainly congratulate him on it. As you know, Kathleen, I'm on Hillary Clinton's finance committee and strong support of Hillary Clinton, but Barack Obama ran a very skillful and strong race. And I think early on he reached out, he made the case that this was a generational campaign, which was something that I think he had to do, and he got the support of a lot of people and a lot of organizations. So I think he gets a lot of credit for running a good campaign.
She asked in her speech last night, a lot of people are asking her, what does Hillary Clinton want? And then there were a lot of news reports. Does she want the vice presidency? Is she going to say no to it, but she wants to be asked? What do you think she wants?
You know, Kathleen, I think that question is probably not the correct question. Bill Clinton, as you know, in my view anyway, was one of the best presidents in the last 100 years. Hillary was a big part of that administration, and it's not been what they want, it's what they've given. And so the question is, I think in her mind, how can she be most effective in giving something to the country? I think that my own view, I don't think she's pressing the vice presidency, but I am for her, and many of our supporters are. I think that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on the same ticket would win handily. I think if Obama doesn't pick her, he may win, but it's going to be very close. And I think it's a matter more of her being willing to take it rather than just going back to the Senate in New York.
Mm-hmm. And are there any indications, we were getting conflicting reports last night, that that is what she wants? And when she asked people to go to HillaryClinton.com and say, what do you want me to do? Do you think that that was, you know, a signal to them? Do you want me to be a vice president?
I think she's torn. I think she genuinely is letting it open to her supporters to gauge their sentiment. The truth is that as a senator from New York, she's in a very powerful position. She has nothing to prove. She was the first lady and really a partner with Bill Clinton in one of the most successful administrations in our history. So I don't think, unlike most senators, she needs in any respect the vice presidency. I think what she's trying to gauge is there a general feeling that if she doesn't take the vice presidency, this ticket may not win. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think she's trying to gauge.
Mm-hmm. And certainly Senator McCain was going after Clinton and supporters last night when he said in his speech, which I thought was a remarkable statement. The media pundits and party elders selected the Democratic nominee. He was going right after the Hillary voters, wasn't he?
Well, you know, when John McCain speaks, he looks like he's surrounded by the remnants of Herbert Hoover's cabinet. And so whatever, I mean, who knows what he's going after? He's scrambling, desperately trying to find a theme. He hasn't decided whether he should embrace Bush or not embrace Bush. He's leaning towards embracing him. He has no ideas. He's drifting. So I haven't the faintest idea who he's targeting, but I think it's probably irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. When do you think, and when do you think she should concede that he has won this?
Well, right now, you have to think, consider a couple of things, Kathleen. She won the vast majority of the primaries in the last several months. I mean, that's very rare for someone who ends up as the nominee, having in effect lost substantially many of the remaining primaries before the nomination process ends. So his margin of victory are superdelegates. Now, superdelegates can change their mind. Having said that, I don't think that she has any desire to drag this thing on while these superdelegates sort of shilly-shally back and forth. But I think that there's got to be some clarification within the party as to what the ticket will be, mm-hmm. what the themes will be. She has probably the strongest position on health care of anybody in the race. I think she'd like to see that adopted as the party platform. These are all legitimate objectives. So I think that there will be a consensus on the ticket, but that consensus hasn't been reached right now.
And Obama did say last night that in the battle for universal health care, she will be central to that victory.
Yeah, well, and that's good. I think that's a very, very favorable and smart opening statement.
Mm-hmm. It has been a long battle, hasn't it? You wonder, Matt, how these people go through this. How do they do it?
Well, they have inhuman stamina. I'll tell you, I went down to, I traveled to Indiana and to Iowa to campaign for her, and I made calls into Arizona, Ohio, and New Hampshire in addition to that. And on a given day, they might start out the day in Chicago, go to Los Angeles, and end up in Atlanta. I mean, and along the way, hit many different stops. So I think it's remarkable what they've done. I think it's we're well-served as a country when we have people like that who are willing to put in that time. But it's been absolutely grueling. And as you know, the media glare is relentless, and appropriately so. Some of the criticism is fair. Some of it isn't fair. It goes with the territory. So I think that both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are very tough people in the good sense of the word, and I mm-hmm. think that they'd be a good ticket.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about the number, and maybe the press just plays this up a whole lot, but we did see last Saturday at the Rules Committee, there were a lot of Clinton supporters who were very, very upset. On to Denver was the cry. There have been reports that there are a lot of people who will not vote for Barack Obama who were Hillary Clinton supporters. He obviously needs those supporters. Is there so much animosity here for whatever reason, and tell me what that reason may be, that those voters may indeed go to McCain?
I don't think that will happen. It is true that some polls suggested that. These were mostly exit polls, which I think are imprecise. More importantly, in the South Dakota and Montana primaries, those polls, those numbers went down. So that doesn't seem to be a current sentiment. The other thing I will say, though, is that, what's going on here pales by comparison with what was said between Lyndon Johnson and Jack Kennedy. In the 19th century, President Buchanan was accused of cannibalism by an opponent, and they used to fight duels and so on. I mean, this is pretty tame stuff by historic standards. And I think that what Obama will realize is that Hillary Clinton has a number of constituencies, the Latino community, mm-hmm. the unions and so on, whom he desperately needs in a general election. And I think the danger isn't so much the vote for McCain. They won't do that. But will they be excited? Will they be energized? Will they work? And will they vote? And I think it's imperative that she be on the ticket.
Right. Or they may not vote.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody's deliberately going to say that now, and it's not malicious, and it isn't to help McCain. But there has to be an enthusiasm level in people's minds, certainly to be active in campaigns, and in some cases even to vote. And that enthusiasm has to be earned. And mm-hmm. I think it will be earned by having her on the ticket.
Why, Matt, did you choose her over Obama?
The reason I did was severalfold. I've known the Clintons for some time. I supported them Bill Clinton early on. Their campaign contacted me early. And I think Bill Clinton ranks with Truman and Roosevelt and Kennedy as one of the best presidents. She was part of it. Her work and his work on the Irish peace accords in particular really compelled me, and on Middle East peace, the balancing of the budget. And so I think that, quite simply, she was the most capable of any of the candidates in either party to restore the presidency to a level that it should be restored to. They were mercilessly attacked by the right wing throughout the 90s in a very unfair way. The Republicans and even some Democrats who attack her now attacked Bill Clinton as well and picked up the Republican theme. So I think that the Clintons will go down as two of the most effective leaders in American history, and I was very proud to support her.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who say, particularly African Americans, that the Clintons played the race card in this race and that the reputation, particularly of former President Bill Clinton, will be forever damaged because of that. Do you think there was an element of that?
No, I think that's sheer baloney. I mean, some people, I think what the suggestion is that merely by having the temerity to run that was raised, the truth is Barack Obama got 92% of the African American vote. And I don't think he's accused of playing the race card and should not be, because the truth is that any group is very proud of someone who's accomplished in their group who's running. But similarly, I think that if you take Bill Clinton, as his offices in Harlem, was almost unanimously supported by the African-American community and probably did more for America, including the African-American community, than any president. So people who know him personally, I think, would say it's absurd. And I suspect much of that is being spread by the Republican Party as kind of negative message simply to injure the Democratic Party.
Let's go to some phone calls and start with Charles from La Crosse. Hi, Charles.
Good morning, Kathleen. Concerning what Hillary wants, my thinking is that Bill would be a non-starter for the vice presidency. However, my thinking is that Harry Reid, you know, is of marginal credentials or acceptance as a Senate Majority Leader. I think that with Kennedy's diminished capabilities in the Senate now, Hillary would be well served, and the Senate would be well served, and her constituency and supporters would be well served if she were to take that position of Senate Majority Leader, guide through medical reform for this country, and possibly with, I think there's five or six Republican senators not running this time, she could be in power for 15, 18, 20 years. I'd like my comments off the radio.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, Kathleen, I can't agree with that gentleman for a couple of reasons. First of all, I think he said Bill would be a non-starter. No one's suggesting Bill Clinton as vice president. They were suggesting Hillary Clinton. Secondly, I want Bill Clinton back in that administration. If something happens in Northern Ireland, the Middle East, or between India and Pakistan, I want Bill Clinton being called on by Barack Obama to assist on that. And quite frankly, this is not a this question of the good of the country, not the, the preferences of one individual. The bottom line, it's a free market. If Barack Obama thinks he can win without her, he won't pick her. I think that anybody with any rudimentary understanding of this realizes that if he picks her, he will win. If he doesn't pick her, he only may win.
Let's go to an email, Bill from Madison. There's a current concern that should Hillary become vice president, Bill Clinton is going to intrude inappropriately instead of cooperate magnificently. Why do you think he'll be an asset, not to the election, but to the presidency?
The Irish peace accords, the Middle East peace accords, balancing the budget for the first time in 30 years, bringing the country together again, peace and prosperity. I'm very tired of people on the left attacking Bill Clinton. They're dragging the party down. Bill Clinton was one of our strongest presidents, and we're not turning this party over to people on the left simply gratuitously to try to ram their own agenda through.
Bo from Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Kathleen, good morning.
Hi, Bo.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
I had a question, actually, for you, being that you are on the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Right.
I was wondering about, now, why... And actually, what is the experience that they're talking about that Obama is lacking that Hillary has so much of? I like her universal health care plan, but it seems that when Clinton was in office, that plan came up and was shot down by pharmaceutical lobbyists and the companies that are controlling pretty much the entire market as far as healthcare goes.
Let me say just two things in response to the gentleman's question. First of all, I want to make this very clear. I do not say, nor does anybody I know say, that Barack Obama does not have the experience to be president. I'm supporting him, assuming he's going to be the nominee, once Hillary Clinton releases her delegates, very, very strongly. I like Barack Obama. I think he has plenty of experience. He'll be a good president. But when you say, what does Hillary Clinton have experience in that he or anybody else doesn't have? Actual accomplishment, the Irish peace accords, Middle East peace, balancing the budget, peace, and prosperity. She fought the entire right wing throughout the 90s, so did Bill, and they were attacked on the side by the left of the Democratic Party, and I'm very, very tired of that.
And thank you very much for the call. Let's pause for just a moment and return and take more phone calls for Matt Flynn. Matt is on the Finance Committee for the Hillary Clinton for President campaign and a former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. We're talking about all that happened last night and Senator Barack Obama becoming really the Democratic Democratic nominee for the presidency, and welcoming your phone calls. A little bit later this hour, the former chair of the Iowa Democratic Party and a co-chair of Senator Barack Obama's campaign in the state of Iowa. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I want the nearly 18 million Americans who voted for me to be respected, to be heard, and no longer to be invisible.
Matt Flynn is our guest. The first part of this show, former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party Finance Committee for the Hillary Clinton for President. And we are going to go to one or two more phone calls. William from Colfax is next. Hi, William.
Hi. I think what turns me off about Hillary Clinton is the way that she ran her campaign. I felt like it was very, like, old school, where I think Barack Obama was trying to keep it on a high level, and they were using every dirty trick. Even this assertion that she just made about her 18 million voters is sort of bullying her way into this position, that Bill says that she has a right to be that she's earned it. And what you said about Bill Clinton, that he's not going to be on the ticket, but he asserts himself into that position. You know, he's doing that all by himself. He's sort of bullying himself into being ever present. And Bill Clinton, I think, is too easy a target. And I think Hillary Clinton, when she had the opportunity in the past to do health care, she couldn't get it done then. So what makes people think she can get it done now?
Well, two things. When she couldn't do it in the 90s, and she tried very much, it was because she was viciously attacked by the right wing and also by the left wing of the Democratic Party. That's continuing to happen. When the left wing of the Democratic Party gets it through their heads that they should not cannibalize their own leaders, that would be a big help. The second thing is, will Bill Clinton be a big part of it? Absolutely. In fact, I wish there weren't a constitutional prohibition on him serving 8 more years. So the more he can be persuaded to do, the better, and Barack Obama would benefit from it. In terms of the 18 million voters, that's a plain statement of fact. That includes the voters in Michigan and includes the voters in Florida. They are citizens of the United States, and they deserve to be counted.
So where do you go from here, Matt Flynn? Are you going to campaign for Barack Obama?
Yes, I am. Once Hillary releases her delegates, and that's being, I'm sure, discussed right now, I'm loyal to the Clintons, and I will stay with the Clintons as long as they're in the fight. But I like Barack Obama, quite frankly, and I think that as the nominee, assuming he ends up being the nominee, that I would gladly support him. I think he'd be a great president. I think it's imperative that he have Hillary Clinton on the ticket, and I'm going to make that quite clear to everybody I know and to the people who are actually delegates attending the Denver convention. Quite frankly, I suspect there are a number of superdelegates who have not yet committed to Barack Obama who are making that clear as well. Barack Obama cannot go into a general election against John McCain. As bad as John McCain is, he has an insane temper. He's linked to lobbyists. He was a member of the Keating Five. Nobody wants him in the presidency of this country. But having said that, Barack Obama should not go into that election taking for granted a number of the constituencies that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are very popular with.
Mm-hmm. Matt, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate your time. Did you watch a lot of television last night,
well,
too?
Well, you know, I did. It'll be kind of nice, Kathleen, to be able to go back to reading. But keep up the good work. I really like your show, Kathleen.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate
you. Bye-bye.
Matt Flynn, former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton backer. And he also was on the finance committee for the Hillary Clinton for President campaign. We're switching guests now to Gordon Fisher. Gordon was with us what seems like ages ago in Iowa when we brought our program to Dubuque. He was on the air with us. He is former chair of the Iowa Democratic Party and a co-chair of Senator Barack Obama's campaign in Iowa. And I'm sure is quite thrilled with what happened yesterday in Iowa. We are also going to continue taking your phone calls, and they're all applicable to this half hour as well as to the last half hour. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee line is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. For you to join our conversation. And we have him with us on the line right now. Gordon Fisher, thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Yeah, you must be happy.
Well, it's a great day. It's a great day for the Democratic Party, and I would dare say a great day for America. I mean, we've got the first African-American candidate in American history running for president of the United States on a major ticket.
You know, I was watching last night, hour after hour, and I remember seeing him announced in Springfield, Illinois, so many months ago, and I'm a huge Abraham Lincoln supporter, and I found it, you know, just, it was quite an announcement, quite a place to make the announcement.
Sure
and
was.
It wasn't it? And here we are, and he has all the, how amazing it is that he is the candidate, not being very well known, being African American. It is a rather historic moment in America. In America, isn't it?
It really is. It is really a truly historic moment. He has come so far. When you think about both, you know, his personal history and our nation's history, it is simply stunning how far he's come. You know, single mother, you know, sort of lifted himself up by the bootstraps, ended up being able to go to Harvard Law School, first black editor of the Harvard Law Review, community organizer on the south side of Chicago, state senator, delivers this phenomenally well-known and well-received speech at the DNC, runs for president, and as you rightly indicated, way, way behind in name recognition and in money, in an organization, at least at the start. But because of his, I think, a combination, the man and moment, I think, Matt, a combination of his just incredible political skills. He is so, so gifted. And then also, I think his message of change, hope, unity, I think it was just the moment and the man of the moment met.
And he made reference last night to, how do you pronounce David's last name? Pluff? I always.
Oh, Pluff, yeah.
Pluff, David Pluff.
You're fine.
Yeah, who really was one of the masterminds of the organizational campaign. We saw evidence certainly of that in Iowa.
Absolutely.
And the way the whole thing was strategized, all the caucus states that the Clinton campaign didn't pay much attention to, it was a brilliantly organized campaign, I think.
It was a brilliantly organized campaign. During the campaign, I think some of the commentators and some of even the other candidates and campaigns used to depict Obama supporters and the Obama campaign as kind of starry-eyed idealists who had, quote, drunk the Kool-Aid, right? And I always thought that was completely the opposite of the truth. The truth was it was the Obama campaign that was the hard-eyed realists who were sort of grinding it out day by day, realizing that they had to compete everywhere, that they, you know, that every vote mattered, that every caucus mattered. Every contest mattered, that they needed as many volunteers and as many donors as possible. They were the ones that put together this wonderful, wonderful ground game, this wonderful ground organization that was so successful here in my state and in your wonderful state of Wisconsin as well.
Why, you know, you were an early supporter of Senator Obama. Why did you latch on to his campaign?
Well, it was a difficult decision at the time because we had so many good candidates, and when I would talk to fellow Iowa Democrats, people would say, "I just can't decide. There's so many good candidates. I like them all so much. I know I've narrowed it down to four or three, but that's the most I can do." Ultimately, I felt three things. One is I had an affinity for Barack Obama, the person, having an opportunity to have met him and talked to him to some degree over the year or so that he spent campaigning in Iowa. So I just flat out like the guy. He's just immensely charismatic and charming. Second, I thought his message was absolutely perfect. As I mentioned earlier, I think people are yearning for something different, certainly something different from the Bush administration. They're looking for change, and that was precisely his message. And then third, I thought on the issues, the fact that he didn't support the Iraq war, his tax cut for the middle class, and so on. I really thought his stand on the issues was at least marginally better than the other Democratic candidates, although there wasn't a huge gulf of difference, but at least marginally better. So I think the person, his message, and the issues were the three things that won me over to Obama's side, and obviously lots and lots of other Iowans and Wisconsinites.
Right. Let's go to some phone calls. Nancy from Milwaukee. Hi.
Good morning. Joy, on the earlier program today, had a guest who made the statement that he felt that Hillary would have every expectation that Obama would help greatly, greatly reduce her immense campaign financial mess that she's in, and actually restore to her the very money that she herself loaned to her campaign. Now, that to me sounded like a not-so-thinly-veiled threat that if he did not advance this huge amount of money to her, probably $20 million, she would tell her voters to vote for McCain, or perhaps not vote at all. And this, to me, again, displayed her tremendous arrogance. I cannot stand this woman. And I just cannot conceive that she ever could be on this ticket. I do not want any of the Clintons back at the White House in any way. I think it would just be fearful for the country to encounter a loose Bill Clinton in that White House. She's never been able to control him. And I'm sure that Obama knows that she would not be able to control him now either. But I'd like to know what about all of this money? Why should he have any feeling at all that he needs to restore the vast amount of money that she lent to her own campaign? I don't understand
okay.
this.
Nancy, we'll get a response from Gordon. Gordon.
Well, thanks for your call. Several points there. One is the overall kind of message I get is, you know, there are people that really, really love Hillary Clinton, and then there are people that don't. I mean, she is just a really interesting political figure that way. She, arouses a great deal of passion in her supporters and also a great deal of passion, as we just heard, in some of her not so supportive people. But in terms of the $20 million or whatever the debt is, you know, it's a fairly common thing after a primary, even at a legislative or a congressional level, certainly at the presidential level, for a winning candidate to help the losing candidate out with a part of their debt. Now, does that mean Barack Obama is going to sit down and, you know, write out a check for $20 million? No, I highly doubt it. But I could see him, say, headlining fundraisers for Hillary Clinton in the future, stuff like that. I don't think that he would give money directly from his campaign, but he might direct some of his donors to give to her campaign. He might do fundraising dinners or fundraising events in conjunction with her to help retire the debt. I don't see it so much as a threat. I don't think that would be a very useful threat to make. I think that would backfire. But I wouldn't be surprised if Barack Obama and the Obama campaign help in some way with her debt, although, you know, there's a lot of mystery exactly how much that debt is. So we'll have to see. But for him to help her is not really much different from what happens in politics all the time. time.
Thanks, Nancy, for the call. Email from Jim from Madison. Obama is the Democratic nominee. As an independent, I find it offensive that most of the press coverage is about what Hillary is going to do rather than cover this historic moment. Has anybody told these pundits that to the winner go the spoils? Yes, Hillary's platform will have to be given full consideration, but Obama does not have to offer Hillary the VP position. Even more ludicrous is the notion that Hillary has to be offered the position even though she will decline. I think CNN's Tubin characterized it best when he referred to the Clintons' deranged narcissism.
Again, there's people that feel very, very passionately. I talk to them every day.
Right.
That the Clintons are the greatest thing that ever happened to the Democratic Party. And then obviously this email right author feels quite differently. So, I mean, it really shows the divide between Hillary supporters and Hillary detractors. I agree to some degree that there is an awful lot of speculation about, you know, what's Hillary going to do, what's her next move, rather than, the big obvious story to me is that Barack Obama, pulled off one of the biggest upsets probably in American political history. First African-American to be on a major ticket, probably the odds-on favorite to be our next president. You know, one clinched the nomination yesterday. That's the headline. That's the big story. And I think that's what most people are talking about today.
Mm-hmm. Let us go next to Russ from Appleton. Hi, Russ.
Good morning, Kathleen. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Glad to have you back on the radio and your guest, Gordon. So I just wanted to make the comment, the fact that I'm really happy that Barack got the nomination, and I just hope for the good of this country as well as the message we send to the world that he does not take on the baggage of the Clintons. I think the fact that Barack represents a new message to the United States as well as the rest of the world, and he needs to align himself with someone that a good character, someone's well-represented throughout the world, and I think a guy like maybe Joe Biden for VP would be a great matchup. That's my comments, and good luck to Barack.
Thanks, Russ.
Russ, I agree. I think Joe Biden, thank you for your call, and I totally agree. I think Joe Biden would be a terrific candidate for VP. I think, that's going to be a decision over the matter of weeks, maybe even months. It's not going to be a decision that comes quickly. It's a very important decision. I'm sure the Obama campaign is going to want to take its time in making that decision. But I'm also sure, without having any inside information or inside knowledge, that Joe Biden will be on that short list. Tremendous foreign policy experience, tremendous speaker, great character. I think he's got all the makings of a good VP choice.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing how this made such spectacular news all over the world. If you look at the news headlines this morning, the front page of papers all over Europe, all over Asia, the picture of Barack Obama was right there, front and center.
Absolutely. And already, no matter what happens from here on out, I think already the Obama campaign has been a success in this very important respect, and that is the world already looks at us differently today than it did yesterday, the day before. The fact that we have an African-American, the fact that his name is Barack Obama, the fact that he's the odds-on favorite to be the next president of the United States has indeed caught and fired the imagination of people all over the world, as you indicated. And I think folks already all over the world are looking at America differently and thinking, wait, maybe we missed something. Maybe, George W. Bush isn't the typical American. Maybe he's not truly representative of how lots of Americans feel. Let's rethink this. And I think that's a tremendous accomplishment in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on the fact that a lot of people still say, and I hear this every day, that we don't know enough about this man? Does he still have to do a lot of introduction as to who he is and how he lived and what work he's done in the state Senate in Illinois and in the U.S. state Senate?
I absolutely think so. I absolutely do. Even though it's been, several grueling months since the Iowa caucuses,
right,
and since the Wisconsin primary, I think people still are interested in knowing more about his background. You know, the fact that he was born to a single mom, and the fact that he, did not come from a background of privilege, quite the opposite, but was able to become a successful lawyer and a successful community organizer on the mean streets of the South Side of Chicago, became a state senator, launched a very, very long shot bid for the U.S. Senate, one of several candidates. People made fun of him because of his name, was able to win that seat. I think people are going to be interested knowing much more about his background and his record. And I predict, and I guess that this wouldn't surprise you coming from an Obama supporter, but I predict the more that folks know about him and his record, both his personal background and his record in the state Senate and the U.S. Senate, the more they're going to like him and the more they're going to flock to his side.
Mm-hmm. I'm a sentimentalist, I guess, in a large way at times. I can cry pretty easily, but I just loved the fact that he talked about his grandmother right at the top of the speech yesterday. He's such a speaker, who was in Hawaii, who was too old to travel, but that she had poured everything into him. She had poured herself into him. I just thought that was, and this one was for her. I like that.
Yeah, that really, how could anyone not be moved by that beautiful sentiment? And if you've read his first book, you know, his grandmother was so central to his upbringing, and really instilled in him the sense of confidence and a sense of mission that he obviously carries with him to this day. And I don't know that we've talked about this yet, and maybe I should mention it. The speech itself, I thought, was phenomenal. You expect a lot from a Barack Obama speech. Mm-hmm. He is noted as such a gifted orator. So I was almost a little nervous, thinking, "Well, shoot, can he reach for the stars and make it? Can he exceed or expectations?" And I actually think he did. And it was quite a contrast. Not to get overly partisan, but I thought it was quite a contrast to McCain, who I thought was stiff, kind of just the same passion, the same excitement clearly wasn't there. It was a much smaller venue. The crowd just didn't seem as pumped up for the McCain speech. And then switching to the St. Paul Arena, I mean, tremendous crowd, tens of thousands of people, and a phenomenal speech. I thought it was a very, very stark contrast, and probably not the last time we see that stark contrast.
Yeah, we'll hear a little bit of that McCain speech in a moment for those of you who missed it. We continue our conversation welcoming phone calls and emails for Gordon Fisher, former chair of the Iowa Democratic Party and a co-chair of Senator Barack Obama's campaign in Iowa. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You'll hear from my opponent's campaign in every speech, in every interview, every press release that I'm running for President Bush's third term. You'll hear every policy of the president is described as the Bush-McCain policy. Why does Senator Obama believe it's so important to repeat that idea over and over again? Because he knows it's very difficult to get Americans to believe something that they know is false.
It's not change when he promises to continue a policy in Iraq that asks everything of our brave men and women in uniform and nothing of Iraqi politicians. A policy where all we look for are reasons to stay in Iraq while we spend billions of dollars a month on a war that isn't making the American people any safer.
Gordon Fisher is our guest, former chair of the Iowa Democratic Party and a co-chair of Senator Barack Obama's campaign in Iowa. And we go to Joe from Wausau. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Boy, I was really hoping to talk to the last guy, but I can put this question up to this guy. I really don't think that Hillary Clinton would help Barack Obama as her VP. In fact, I think that she would lose the White House for him. And simply because Barack Obama puts conservatives on edge enough the way it is, and there are so many Hillary haters and moderate Republicans that Barack Obama is actually appealing to. And to put two people that are on the opposite spectrum that can have negative effects to multiple constituencies, I just don't see how that would help. I think it would just serve to alienate more people. And their agendas are so close that when people start hearing McCain talk, And if they were Hillary supporters, I really can't see them voting for McCain over Barack Obama. They'd be voting against everything they believe in as a Hillary supporter. And, yeah, I guess that was it.
Yes, that was it. All right, Gordon.
Joe, thank you for your call. You know, I really agree strongly with your last sentiment that, you know, there are some Clinton supporters that I think are understandably upset, dejected, disappointed, maybe even embittered, if I can use that word, in this election. But, you know, I think the more they hear from Barack Obama and, frankly, the more they hear from John McCain, the more they're going to come over to Barack Obama's campaign and come to his side. You know, there is going to be a stark, stark choice on everything from Iraq to the economy, the deficit, tax cuts, education, health care. The list goes on and on, Joe and Kathleen, and there's a very, very stark choice between John McCain and Barack Obama, and Barack Obama is much, much, much closer to Clinton's positions on almost every issue than he is to John McCain's by a large degree. So I think people are going to Clinton supporters are understandably disappointed, maybe even angry today, but ultimately the issue positions that Obama espouses are so that Clinton and Obama are so close on the issues, on so many of the important issues, and McCain is, frankly, I think, so far to the extreme that I think the Democratic Party will be unified.
Here's another email. How will Barack carry Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, or Montana, for that matter, in the general election if he's running a 50-state campaign? Who are strong Democrats in Florida, Mississippi, or any other state, excluding John Edwards, for VP?
I think Montana, to pick a state at random out of several that were listed, one of the people sort of on the long list of folks that Obama might pick is that Montana's Democratic governor, Brian Schweitzer. And I think that would help carry Montana. I think Ed Rendell is certainly on the list of VPs. He would certainly help carry Pennsylvania, the current Democratic governor of Pennsylvania. Likewise, Ted Strickland, the current Democratic governor of Ohio, mm-hmm. is going to be on the list, I bet. So those are all folks, good Democrats in those states that will help carry it. Bill Nelson, U.S. Senator from Florida, would be an interesting choice because he might be able to bring along Florida. So, Kathleen, there's a lot of folks out there in a lot of the key swing states that Obama and the Obama campaign are going to have to take a careful look at.
What about Jim Webb?
Jim Webb, absolutely. You know, it's fascinating. Virginia used to be known at our country's founding and after as the mother of presidents. This time around, we've got maybe three potential vice presidential candidates from Virginia. Jim Webb absolutely is going to be on the list, I bet. He is a very, very formidable thinker, former secretary under Ronald Reagan, U.S. Senator from Virginia, swing state. So he's definitely going to be considered. And Tim Kaine, the current governor of Virginia, and Mark Warner, the past governor of Virginia, are probably on the list as well. So Virginia is going to be well represented in the Veep stakes here.
What about this was tossed around some last night, that he can't really go to another woman because, after all, Hillary ran this very fierce campaign and she is the standard bearer for women in the Democratic Party, and it would be a huge slap at her to have another woman on the ticket.
You know, I just don't agree with that at all. I think, first of all, Obama has won the nomination. He's won the nomination fair and square with the rules that were in place. And ultimately, it's really his choice. If he's going to be the next president of the United States, he ought to have a vice president that he chose, that he's comfortable with, that he feels is the best choice for him to not only win the election, but to govern the country. And if Barack Obama, in his wisdom, decides that, say, a Kathleen Sebelius, a governor of Kansas, or another person who happens to be a female is the best for the ticket, then I think he absolutely should and will make that decision. I don't think I don't think there'll be any veto power by anyone over who is or isn't his VP choice.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, Joe, for the call. Let's go to Jim from Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. There's been some attention on the media treatment of Hillary Clinton, and understandably so. But I think the bigger picture in this is the media bias, which I think has been very much in favor of the Republicans because they haven't scrutinized them on controversial issues. For example, it's just kind of a passing glance that Cheney's slur yesterday about West Virginians, kind of inferring some sort of genetic inferiority there. And also Pastor Hagee, not only his statements about the Catholic Church, but also inferring that that God sent Hitler to force the Jews to come back to Israel. You know, just crazy, off the wall stuff that they gave them a pass on. And in the March 17th New Yorker, they had a list of statements that McCain made, including one where he told a joke that said that why is Chelsea Clinton so ugly because Janet Reno is her father. Now this is in the March 17th. New Yorker, and can you imagine if either Democratic candidate Hillary or Obama had made a statement that far off the wall, the kind of scrutiny they would have gotten from the media? So I think the real flaw here is the fact that the media has been very much biased in terms of giving the Republicans a pass, and I wonder why that isn't scrutinized more.
Gordon.
Well, Jim, thanks for listening and thanks for your call, and I actually agree with you. I think that up until now, the historic nature of this race, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and the fact that there have been so many ups and downs and twists and turns in this incredible race on the Democratic side has really dominated the news coverage. And so there hasn't been much scrutiny of John McCain and things like, say, Reverend Hagee and the really kind of awful, hateful things that he's said or misstatements by John McCain haven't gotten much attention, whereas if they were uttered by either Clinton or Obama, they would have gotten a firestorm of attention. That's going to change, though, because as we move forward, it's going to be Obama-McCain, and that's where the media focus is going to lie, and I think there is going to be a lot of increased media scrutiny on John McCain. And I think it's not a good sign for the Republicans that he is running even or maybe just a little bit ahead or a little bit behind of either Clinton or Obama, because he has not undergone the same degree of scrutiny, at least over the last few months, while this Democratic race has gone on and on, as both Democratic candidates have. That's about to change. I think he's about to undergo a very, very high level of scrutiny. Some of the misstatements, so-called jokes, support by Reverend Hagee and other very controversial pastors, those are gonna surface, and those are gonna be examined by the media and indeed by the American public.
Thanks, Jim, for the call. Ed from Wausau. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I was one of the earlier supporters of Obama. In fact, I wagered with a couple of friends on the Union Terrace in Madison about 2 years ago, but with all the heaviness, especially after the last week meeting on Friday night, and I guess on Saturday for the Michigan and Florida voters, I was thinking, with all the heaviness, just tongue-in-cheek type of thing, but maybe Amy Pollard from Saturday Night Live.
Ed, that's great. Because Amy Poehler, it would be kind of two for the price of one, because she could do her Hillary Clinton impersonation and then also be Amy Poehler. So she's very, very funny. I wish I had Ed's foresight. I was indeed an early Obama supporter, but I didn't think to place any bets on it. And I think, Ed, at one point, you and I could have gotten very, very favorable odds on whether Barack Obama would be the next nominee and probably done quite well.
Probably. Didn't look likely some time ago. Thanks, Ed, very much for the call. What do you think is the best, when you look at what you would like to have Senator Clinton do right now to further the chances of Democrats being successful in November, what would you advise her to do? Would you like for her to concede here in the next week, or does it not make a difference?
Well, some of both. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not sure it makes that much of a difference. I mean, Barack Obama is the nominee. He clearly is the nominee. The Democratic leadership is going to continue to coalesce around Barack Obama in the next few hours, couple of days. I think Senator Clinton, she's been an activist. She's been a foot soldier and a leader in the Democratic Party for decades, and I'm sure she'll do the right thing and unify the party. I would simply ask her to reach out to her supporters and ask them to support Obama, and I would ask Obama supporters to do the same thing, to reach out to Clinton supporters. And if we can unify this party, if we can bring Clinton supporters and Obama supporters together, then I think we'll be in very, very good stead in Wisconsin and Iowa and the rest of our great country.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Gordon, so much for being with us.
Kathleen, thank you so much for having me.
We'll talk to you as the campaign rolls on. Gordon Fisher is former chair of the Iowa Democratic Party and a co-chair of Senator Barack Obama's campaign in Iowa, where, as you recall, it all started some 5 months ago. We also thank Matthew Flynn, former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party and on the Finance Committee for the Hillary Clinton campaign. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this program. Thanks to all of your calls and emails. We were flooded with emails this morning, so I'm sorry we couldn't get to all of them, but we'll still be talking about the campaign, certainly in the days and months ahead. And thanks to John Anderson for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. News is coming up from National Public Radio, and then we will have an hour of humor where everybody will be offended. So stay tuned.